Have you ever received a praise or a compliment only to realize later that it is a put down or is meant to be an insult? When I was in high school seminary way back during dinosaur time, the seminary decided to put up a musical, and the seminarians will be the cast of that musical. I can't remember the title anymore. So the priest who was directing the choir and also directing the play decided that everyone in the seminary would be part of the musical. And so we were asked to go to the chapel class by class to audition for any part, whether it's a lead part or a supporting part or maybe just be part of the chorus or the choir. And so I think I was in second year high school at that time, or third. So we all went to the chapel, class by class, and when it was my time to audition, after I did audition, the priest says to me, "Willie, you know, you are a very organized person. I think you will do better with the props." So thus ended my budding musical career. In the gospel, we hear of the Pharisees and the Herodians go up to Jesus. First, they praise him. "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man. You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You are honesty personified. You are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You are very balanced because you do not regard a person's status." That was the praise. That was the compliment. But there's something deeper and sinister in that statement. And so Jesus realizes that they were up to something. He says, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin. Show me a coin." And so they bring him a Roman coin. And he asked him, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" And they said, "Caesar's." And at that point, we could see how smart the Lord is, because his answer was meant not only for his audience right there and then, but it was meant for future generation, for all of us. He says, "Give to Caesar what is due to Caesar, and to God what is due to God." And everyone throughout history, for 21 centuries, we have taken those words of Jesus and enshrined it as the separation of church and state, as if there is an absolute wall that separates these two, as if we, human beings, cannot be both political and religious. For 184 years, this nation never elected a Catholic president. Since the founding of this nation, it was only until the 1960 when the first, and I think the only, Catholic president was elected in the person of John F. Kennedy. It was because there was an inherent social prejudice against Catholics in this country, that the words American and Catholic cannot exist side by side, that there was this seeming suspicion that the allegiance of Catholics were to the Pope of Rome and to the tenets of the Bible and not to the flag of the United States or to the Constitution, as if we can be separated as people. Well, the founders of our nation were influenced largely by the Enlightenment in the European continent, but still a lot of them, not just the most vocal ones like Madison or Thomas Jefferson, but a lot of them were still ingrained in the Judeo-Christian principles, inasmuch as the most vocal ones were influenced by the French Enlightenment. And so they believe that the moral fiber of our nation can be developed out of the moral teachings of Jesus. And this has been part of the moral fiber of our nation. It has evolved eventually throughout the years, but still, we are one nation under God. We are one nation under God. And so when we speak of moral issues in politics, for example, the morality of war or the politics of war, we as Catholic Christians have to be part of the discussion in the public square. Or even issues in politics like immigration or abortion or death penalty or poverty or whatever it is that challenge our society nowadays. We must be part of that discussion. A rational discussion of the issues that affect every citizen of this country. We cannot step back and allow other people to make decisions for us. But once a decision, after all the facts are gathered, has been made, as a nation, as a people, we must rally behind the decision. As some of us may disagree, some of us may be so passionate in the other end of this spectrum, but we have to be part of the discussion in the public square. We cannot dissociate ourselves from our society because, as American Catholics or as Catholic Christians, we are part of the society and we must be known. As St. Paul says in his letter in the second reading, we must be known by the work of our faith and the labor of our love. That would bring us in common with the rest of society by the work of our faith and the labor of our love. Because as citizens, as people of this nation, we are called to worship the one true God, the God of Isaiah in the first reading. There is only one God, there is no other. That is the God we worship. We worship collectively, we worship individually, and we worship as a nation. For we are one nation under God.